Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So imagine yourself sitting in the movie theater with your tub of popcorn and your 96-ounce soft drink. You're watching a movie about a man who goes to work every day, eats dinner with his family 5 nights a week, and reads books to his kids every night before they go to bed. Or you're watching a movie about a man, he's the kind of man who attends every one of his kids' soccer games. And not only does his child appreciate that, but so do like all the other parents of the other kids on the team. Like he's fun to have around. He initiates conversations with the other parents, and he actually seems interested in their life. His neighbor or his coworkers feel the same way about him. You can always count on him to do his job well. And on top of that, he's always available to lend a helping hand to one of his other employees. In fact, he usually takes out one of his coworkers and just treats him to lunch every week just to get to know him better. He's also a really great neighbor. He makes time to have his neighbors over to eat a couple times a month. Instead of watching the football games by himself, he actually watches them with a few people who live near him. He lets his neighbors borrow his tools. He'll help them work on their cars. He's this kind of guy, occasionally he'll just go and grab a drink with some of his neighbors, and they'll talk about work and what they think their kids will be when they grow up. If one of his neighbors is just struggling with something in their life, he's available. If a neighbor calls and needs him to watch their kids because something unexpected has come up, he's always willing. And just imagine, like, in scene after scene of this film, you are watching a man who is just consistently faithful to love those who live and work and play nearest to him. Now, granted, this might be a terribly boring movie. In fact, you might demand your money back because you went to the theater to watch a movie about some extraordinary people doing extraordinary things so that you would feel inspired in your own life, right? Nobody pays to go watch a movie about a man who's just a really good neighbor. But what if that is exactly the kind of life that can change the world? One time Jesus was asked to reduce everything in the Bible into one command. We're going to read about it. We see it in the book of Matthew chapter 22 and beginning in verse 35, and we'll put the words here on the screen. There was a group of religious leaders in Jesus' day named the Pharisees, and they were not big fans of Jesus. And so they have come together, and they are trying to think of a way to test Jesus. And this is what we read in verse 35. It says, "One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the Bible?' And Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.' This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it." To which we go, "Whoa, what do you mean the second? Okay. He only asked for one, right? He said, what is the greatest commandment, not commandments, right?" But Jesus says the second is like the second one is just as important. In fact, the second one kind of flows out of the first. So I don't have one for you, but I've got two. Jesus says the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets, in other words, all of the Bible, hang on these two commandments. When Jesus is asked to pinpoint the most important commandment, the most important thing that you can do in your life, He reduces it, he narrows it, everything down to love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing this, he has given you and he has given me a simple plan that if every follower of Jesus were to actually take it at face value, would turn the world upside down. Now, we're in this series, Bust a Move, and we're talking about moving. And last week, Vince talked about how God busted a move, about how he left heaven and came into our world, moved into our neighborhood, and became one of us. So that we could experience God's love, and so that we could get the life of God in you and in me. And we said that last week, that, you know, once you experience God's love, once you get the life of God in you, that then all of a sudden it's your turn. It's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to love those around us, to help others that God has put in our path to experience his love and to experience his life. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In other words, what I've been doing, now I want you to be doing. Okay. There's a story I want us to look at this morning. And in this story, we see Jesus on the move again. But what I want you to notice in this story is the response that Jesus is looking for from you, the response he's looking for from me, once we experience the love of God and once we get the life of God in us. The story's in the book of John, chapter 4. And if you've got a Bible and you want to turn there, that'd be great. Or if you have the Verve app, you can look it up on that. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen here, so no problem. If you don't own a Bible, we give them away for free at the Velcro bar. Feel free to grab one on your way out. No strings attached. We'd love for you to have a Bible and a great time of the year to start reading it here with the new year. But we read this story in John 4, and look at verse 3. Says, so he's talking about Jesus, left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Jesus had a reason he had to go through Samaria. And the reason we find out is that there is this woman there. There is this woman in Samaria who has just made a mess of her life. She has, it seems, has slept around with a lot of the men in the town, and so the men have used her, and as a result, the women in the town hate her, and if you read through the story, it just becomes very evident that this woman has just carried around and is carrying around a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and so Jesus makes his way to Samaria, and when he gets there, he's got some of his followers with him. He sends them off on an errand, and he makes his way to this woman. Jesus is pursuing her, and he's pursuing her for the same reason he pursues you, same reason he pursues me. He realizes she needs to experience God's love. Okay? She needs to feel God's love, and she needs God's life inside of her. And so he meets this woman at a well in the town. It's called Jacob's Well, and we read this in verse 6. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, I want you to notice the shortest sentence right in the middle of what I just read. It simply says, it was about noon. This is a significant detail in the story. Traditionally, water was fetched in the cooler morning hours in that town and in that culture. But because of the mess she had made in her life, because of the guilt and the shame that she carried around throughout her life, she preferred to fetch water alone in the heat of the day rather than face the frowns and the cold shoulders of the other women in that town. She preferred to fetch water at noon so she could avoid her neighbors. But while others looked down on her, Jesus loved her. And we're not going to read the whole story. You can read the story in John 4 later. But what happens is Jesus accepted her. And Jesus initiates a conversation with her. And Jesus actually invites her to have a relationship with God. But what I want you to notice is this woman's response. I want you to notice what happens after this conversation with Jesus. Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" You notice what happened here? The very people that she was avoiding when she would go to get water, she was now engaging. The most obvious difference in this woman's life from before she met Jesus to after she met Jesus is she busted a move. She went from avoiding her neighbors to actually engaging her neighbors. It was the most significant difference in her life after she experienced God's love. And it is the most significant difference that God's love should make in your life after you experience it. It's the most significant. When you experience God's love, it should cause you just to naturally engage with your neighbors, with those closest to you. Love, you see, what Jesus was saying when he gave the great commandments is that love is what your life is supposed to be all about. In fact, I would say this, you cannot succeed at life and fail at love. And in the same way, you cannot fail at life if you succeed at love. Love is what your life is to be all about. Listen to the impact that this woman made on her neighbors as she goes from avoiding them to actually engaging them. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. The woman at the well engages her neighbors. And what happens is it turns her town upside down. Okay. You know what we do in Vegas? We avoid our neighbors, right? I've lived here 2.5 years. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And just, you know, complete transparency, I've added to it at times. There have been many a days where I've done just that. And there's a lot of reasons to avoid our neighbors, right? I mean, maybe for in some cases, like the Samaritan woman, it's just out of shame that we avoid our neighbors. But maybe for much simpler reasons. Maybe just, you know, out of fear. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they do. I don't know what's going on inside their house. They seem weird. Their dog barks all the time and makes me mad, right? That's never happened to me. But, you know, it's just fear. And maybe for you, it's just you avoid your neighbors because of the messiness of relationships, right? Because sometimes they're messy. A lot of times they're messy, right? And it's just easier to keep to yourself. You know, maybe for you, it's nothing more than just a time deal. I mean, you're busy, and you just don't have margin built in for other people. And yet, I think this is just part of the beauty of this great command that Jesus gave us. Because you read the command, and really, it's not like Jesus is asking us to add anything to our life. He's just asking us to learn to love the people that are right where we're at. Notice when Jesus answered the religious leaders that day, notice that Jesus didn't say, love everybody. You notice that? Like, because only God can do that. Right? I mean, you can't love everybody. I can't love everybody. Only God can love everybody. I don't know everybody. Right? You don't know everybody. You know what happens when you try to love everybody? A lot of times you end up loving no one. Right? Only God can love everybody. Jesus was so brilliant. You know what he says? He says, love your neighbor. I mean, that's so simple, right? I mean, anybody can love their neighbor. And when Jesus was saying, I mean, he just gets so practical here. When he's saying neighbor, he's just talking about the real flesh and blood, imperfect people that life brings you across. He's just talking about the people that God has already placed in your path, that life brings you in contact with. These aren't people that you have to go searching for. These are people that are within view in your life. Jesus is talking about that neighbor who lives a few doors down, who, you know, you wave to as you drive by, but it's never been really much more than that. He's talking about the coworker down the hall from you. I mean, you've small talked before, but that's it.
He's talking about that familiar face at the gym, somebody who tends to work out the same time you work out every week. He's talking about the other parents you sit next to a couple times a week at your kids' ball games. He's talking about the server at that restaurant that you like to go to. He's talking about the student that you sit by in class. He's talking about just real people with real names, real phone numbers, and real addresses. And the power and the genius of this great commandment is that it is so simple. And yet it is so powerful when acted on. I mean, I can't help but think, like what would happen if we all just did what Jesus said to do? What would happen if you did what Jesus said to do? What if we actually got to know our neighbors? I think it may just change the world. There is a fascinating statement in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Paul, who was a follower of Jesus, he is speaking to some philosophers in his day. And he's talking about God. And he says this about God in Acts 17, verse 26. He says, "From one man he made all of the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history in the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." It says that God marked out your appointed time in history and the boundaries of your land. The idea here is that God has placed you in a specific community, in a specific location, in a specific neighborhood even, for a reason. I mean, think about that. What if God has determined the exact place where you live right now so that you can be love to the neighbors in your community? What if God intentionally put you in your house, in your condo, in your apartment? I mean, what if God just placed your child specifically on that little league team or in that elementary school? What if God intentionally placed you at that company, at that office, for a reason? And why? Why has God placed you there? Well, according to Paul here, so that you can help the people that God has placed in your path to experience his love and maybe to get his life in them. Paul says you are perfectly positioned to love your neighbor. You are perfectly positioned to bust a move and make a difference. And so, let's just get practical, right? I mean, how do I do this? How do you do this? I mean, when it comes to just living out what God's called us to do, to love our neighbor, I mean, where do you start? Well, maybe for you, loving your neighbor, it just begins this way, by just taking regular walks in your neighborhood. You can do that, right? I mean, that's pretty simple, okay? Maybe not when it's 12 degrees, but I mean, you know, every other day of the year here in Las Vegas, right? And just to take walks in your neighborhood and introduce yourself to the people that you see. Now, unless this doesn't happen overnight, you may go on some walks, you don't see anybody. Okay, we're in Las Vegas, all right? It's a little bit hard to love your neighbor because you never see them. We had a neighbor one time that I would wave to him and he hardly ever waved back. And I mean, he'd get, you know, we've seen it. They open the garage door, they drive in, and then, you know, you're like, you know, they only have a foot out until the door is closed. It's hard. But what if, I mean, it's just a simple place to start. You get out. You walk around the neighborhood, and man, if there's you see neighbors, you just introduce yourself to them. It doesn't need to be weird. If they're open, initiate a conversation. I mean, ask questions like, you know, how long have you lived here? Now, where'd you grow up? What brought you to Las Vegas? These aren't hard questions, right? What do you do for a living? How much did you pay for your house?
No, just kidding. Don't ask that question. That'll kill it right there, right?
But just simple questions that like that. When Lisa and I moved to Atlanta in 2004 to start a new church, the months before, we had just gotten really convicted that we weren't living this out very well, that we were not loving our neighbor, those who live closest to us. And so when we moved to Atlanta, one of the things we did to just kind of love our neighbor was this. I mean, we just, every night after dinner, we would walk around our neighborhood. Okay, I mean, it's so simple. Let me just tell you, that simple act allowed us to meet and learn the names of so many of our neighbors over time. Okay, and let me just say, if you're going to love your neighbor, it helps to know their names, right? All right, it just does. And let me just say, that simple act of walking around our neighborhood gave us friendships that we still have to this day. To this day, even though we're a couple thousand miles away from there. It's so such a simple activity, but something to do. Here's something else you can do, and you can actually do this as you're walking through your neighborhood, and that is to pray for your neighbors. You can pray for them. As you pass each house, just pray for the people who live there, even if you don't know their name yet. And ask God to help you to get to know that person. Ask God to guide conversations with them. Ask God to help you meet a need that they have in their life. Ask God to give you a chance to just to love them. Let me just tell you, you start praying that way, God will answer that prayer. God will open doors for you to talk to your neighbors. So start walking around your neighborhood, pray for your neighbors. Here's something else you can do. Switch yards, okay? Switch yards. Now, I'm not talking about going into your neighbor's backyard, okay? Not that. But 100 years ago, architects used to build houses with something called a front porch. Anybody ever seen a front porch? A few of you, okay. Well, they were designed to promote neighboring. But then around World War II, this feature in homes changed, and we started creating spaces to live in our backyard, okay, that were fenced in, or in Vegas, blocked off, all right. And, you know, it makes it kind of hard to actually know, much less love your neighbors when you have a fence or blocks surrounding your fortress, right? And so, you know, one of the very simple steps you can take to love your neighbor is to simply switch yards. Instead of hanging out in your backyard, hang out in your front yard. Okay, and I realize that means play on the street because we don't have front yards either, right? But, you know, just switch yards. Hang out where you can be seen. Okay? And when people drive by, smile, okay? And wave, okay? With all your fingers, all right? Okay? And when people walk by, like, talk to them, okay? Open your mouth. And I know some of you are going, no, but I'm an introvert. This is a sermon for extroverts. No, we can all do this, okay? Jesus didn't say, if you're an extrovert, love your neighbor. Okay, introverts, you're off here, okay? No, it's for all, we can all do this. But man, this is something our family did. When we moved to Las Vegas, one of the things we did is we switched yards. We started hanging out in front of our house instead of behind our house. Our kids played in front of our house instead of behind our house. Now, I would love to stand up here and tell you that was an intentional, strategic move by us. Really wasn't that at all. We just barely had a backyard. And so if we were going to do anything outside, we had to do it in front of the house. But here was the payoff. We got to know a few of our neighbors who lived right around us and got to build really good relationships with them. And it actually led us to doing something else that you can do for your neighbors. We threw a block party. Block parties are just natural environments where neighbors can come together and take steps from being acquaintances or maybe even strangers to actually becoming friends, more than just acquaintances. If you read through Jesus' life, you begin to realize Jesus spent a lot of time at parties. I mean, he was like there at parties all the time. And I think the reason is he just realized the power of a party. He realized these are just important ways for people to share their lives with one another. After we got to know a handful of our neighbors, their names and a little bit of their stories, we threw a block party. Lisa and the girls, our girls made some simple homemade invites, and then we walked around our neighborhood and we stuck the invites in the front doors of about 75 homes right around us. And we just, on the invite, we just invited them to our front yard, okay, to right in the front of our house for a block party, that we were going to pull out the grill, we were going to do some hamburgers and hot dogs for them to come. They could bring a side and drinks of their preference, and here's when it's going to be. So we went home later that week. I pulled out our grill and started grilling hamburgers and hot dogs and just wondering how it was going to go. And I thought, man, yeah, if we had 20 or 30 people, this would be amazing. I mean, this would just be a great night. We didn't entertain 20, 30 people. We actually entertained over 80 of our neighbors. Yeah, they just kept coming. And we kept grilling hot hamburgers and hot dogs. It was absolutely amazing. I mean, there were so many faces I had never even seen in our neighborhood. And we had lived there for like a year when we did this. And you know what I learned that night? I learned that all of these invisible neighbors were actually normal people like you and me. They go to work, they hang out with their kids, they put their pants on one leg at a time. And I realized that, you know, at the end of the day, all of these people, it was just very obvious, they all long for a place to belong. They all long to be accepted and loved. And I just got to tell you, after conversation that night, my heart was just broken at how lonely my neighbors were. I mean, it just kind of wrecked me. I can't even begin to tell you how many times. I lost count. My neighbors came up to me, and again, a lot of them, first time I'd ever met them. And they said, man, thanks, Jeff, for doing this. I have lived in this neighborhood for 6 years, and I don't know a single neighbor. I have lived here for 3 years, and I only know one neighbor. I've been here for 6 months. I've been here for a year. I've been here for a year and a half. And tonight's the first time I've gotten to know anybody else who lives here. I mean, conversation after conversation after conversation. And I stood in front of our house, and I just looked out over all these people. And it just dawned on me, Jesus is a genius. I mean, this good neighboring thing really actually works. I mean, anybody can do this. The command to love our neighbors, it lies at the core of God's plan for your life. It really does. I mean, you understand, Jesus reduced everything here into those two commands. Love God with your whole self and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you follow it, man, when you live it out, it changes everything. Let me tell you, it changed me that night. It changed the way I left my neighborhood and the way I came back into my neighborhood from that day on. I slowed down. I actually would roll down my window when I would get back to my neighborhood in case there was somebody out walking that I could not just wave, but I could stick my hand out, maybe stop and actually talk to them. People knew us then because we're the people that throwing the block party. And so it changed the way I saw our neighbors. It changed the way that I interacted with them. And let me just tell you, God, when you love your neighbor as yourself, God uses you, and God uses me to help others experience His love, and sometimes to even get His life into them. A couple months after that block party, I had the privilege of baptizing one of our neighbors. And baptism is what a person does when they first say yes to God and they put their faith in Jesus. During our years in Atlanta, we actually had the privilege of baptizing 9 of our neighbors. And let me just tell you, it wasn't because I was a pastor. And it wasn't because I preached them a sermon. I didn't. All it was my family actually did what Jesus said to do. We just loved our neighbor. That's what we did. And they got to experience God's love through us. Again, we weren't preaching at them. That's not the point. We were just loving them regardless of whether they believed or not, regardless of whether they would ever come to follow Jesus or not. And they got to experience God's love, and they just, at some point, they realized that they needed and that they wanted that love in their life. And here's just the amazing news today. Loving your neighbor is something you can do. See, you can walk around your neighborhood. And you can introduce yourself to people. You can pray for your neighbors. You can hang out in front of your house. And you can even throw block parties. In fact, here at Verve, we can help you with that. We've got like everything you could possibly need to throw a block party. In fact, we've had some Ververs over the last year or so who've actually started borrowing some of our stuff so they could throw block parties in their neighborhoods and start to build some community in their neighborhoods. And man, if you're interested in that, just let us know. You can stop by the Velcro Bar and ask. We would love to let you use our stuff to throw a block party in your neighborhood. Jesus said to love your neighbor. The Bible says that you are perfectly positioned to love your neighbor. And it just makes me think, what good things might happen if you truly got to know the people that God has put in your path? I mean, what would happen if we just did what Jesus said to do? And so let me just give you a very specific challenge this morning, okay? I want to challenge you to begin spending intentional time with two people or two families that God has put in your path. Okay? You just make that your 2015 goal, to begin spending intentional time with two people or two families that God has put in your path. It may be a literal neighbor, okay? It could be a coworker. It may be a fellow student. It may be the parents of another child that's on your kid's ball team. Okay? And here's the way to do it. Let's give you an idea. You have 21 meals you eat each week. Okay? What if you committed one meal each week to eating with a person or a family that doesn't know Jesus? Just one meal out of 21. I mean, what could happen if you invested in just one meal a week to learn the story of somebody else? To just learn someone's story. What if you invested one meal per week for the sole purpose of just loving your neighbor? For the sole purpose of just helping your neighbor experience God's love, maybe for the first time? I mean, not only would you be living what God's called you to do, but friends, it would be the best favor that you will ever give to your neighbor. Because you have and I have a message of hope and good news that everyone desperately needs, including your neighbors. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, we have about 300 households who consider Verve their church home. They consider this their church home. And so what if everyone did what Jesus said, right? What if, we could do that, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. It doesn't take an impressive resume. It doesn't take an advanced degree. I mean, anybody can love their neighbor. And I just thought, what if we all just did what Jesus said? What if each household that considers Verve home, what if we just, each household invested one meal a week? What if each household would focus in on loving two of their neighbors? I mean, what would happen? Well, there would be more than 600 households who would experience God's love here in Las Vegas. I mean, you think about that, more than 600 households who would be touched by somebody who's simply doing what Jesus has asked them to do. I mean, you got to figure that would be well over 1,000 people who would experience the love of God in their life this year. I mean, maybe it would even lead them, some of them, to say yes to God and a relationship with Him. Why? Simply because you did what Jesus said to do. Simply because I did what Jesus said to do. Simply because we did what Jesus said to do. I have a dream that one day, 5 years from now, 50 years from now, one day Las Vegas will be voted the most neighborly city in America. And I think it can start today. Because see, if you'll love your neighbor, it has the power to change your block. It has the power to change your community. It has the power to change this city. It has the power to turn the world upside down. So here's my question for you. Who are your two? Who are your two? We're going to give you some time to think about this and maybe pray about this. We put a card on your chair when you came in today. It's called Who is My Neighbor? I encourage you just to pull this out. I want you to take this home today. And you see where you are. You are here. You're right here in the middle. And I just encourage you during this time, we're going to give you some time just to think about what you've heard today and what that means for you. I encourage you to take a pen and write two names, okay, two families of neighbors that you have that you're just going to intentionally invest some time in this year. You're going to invite them to share a meal. You're going to spend time with them. And again, they may be your literal neighbor. They may be in the houses right next to you. But again, they may just be somebody else that God has placed in your path within your community. But I encourage, don't leave here without filling this out. And it may be somebody you don't know their name, and you just go, I know who they are. But first thing I got to do is learn their name. Okay. But take this home with you. Maybe put it on your fridge. Okay, take it off if you invite them over to eat, okay? That would be really weird, okay? So, yeah, never mind. So just, if you put it there, take it off, okay? But maybe put it in your Bible. It may be a safer place, okay? But man, start praying for them and start intentionally investing time in them. So we're going to give you some time. Our band's going to come up here after I pray and play another song. And maybe during this time you fill out this card. Maybe during this time you start praying for them. During this time, we make communion available, and communion's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represents Christ's body and blood. And the sacrifice that he made, the move he made on our behalf so that we can have our sins forgiven. The mess that we've made out of our own life, that we could get a new beginning. And we just celebrate and remember in gratitude what Christ has done on our behalf. That he moved into our neighborhood and he loved us. And I just want to challenge you to think during this time, who can you move into their neighborhood and love with God's love? So let me pray, and then if you want to take communion, you can make your way to one of the tables with the candles lit and take that back to your seat. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for moving into our neighborhood and loving us. God, thank you for sending Jesus into this world to give us a new start, a new hope. And God, forgive us for just kind of going through life so fast, we miss out and we fly by the people that you're putting in our path. God, your word says that you have placed us where we are for a reason. So God, would you today just kind of open our eyes, help us see the people that you're placing in front of us, our neighbors, our coworkers, fellow students, whoever they may be. Would you help us to see them with your eyes? And God, would you help us to do whatever we got to do to love them? God, we can only do so much. I mean, the days go fast. Life goes fast. And all the more, God, that's why I want us to be busy doing the things you've asked us to do. Like loving our neighbor. And so, God, would you just speak to each person today, help them to see maybe who those two are that they can really love this year. And God, would you open doors for them to build a relationship with them. And God, maybe, just maybe, those neighbors will one day have a relationship with you that just changes everything for them. In Jesus' name, amen.